If you're listening to the pre-show, you're very, very lucky.
I am Patrick Martins, host of The Main Course. You are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
That's right, and Patrick said it right, and no one can say it better. That is right, you are on the Heritage Radio Network, and you are listening to Gunwash. It is 65 and overcast.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. It's actually, I wore a sweatshirt to work today, and we have got a lot to talk about, so please stay tuned. We've got nursing in the house. Gunwash is coming up next, baby. Let's do it.
I'm not the supreme expert on cleaning guns, but I do know a little bit, and I'm just going to share my little tips and ideas with you.
For those of you who don't know, by the way, the High Holy Days are not over.
They're not?
No, no, no. Actually, this is, remember last week we were talking about Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Yom Kippur is starting tomorrow, so.
So are you going to be fasting?
Me personally, yes, I will be fasting, but not because of Yom Kippur, because I just, I want to lose.
You only eat dirt.
I only eat dirt. And there's no dirt available on Yom Kippur.
Bang, bang.
Shouts to Big Steve.
Shouts to whoever. Shout out to that kid that left that camera in my house.
Yes. Well, listen, tonight is a very special night. You know, listen. Okay. We had a very, very invigorating episode last week of Gunwash, and it was super, super important that we continue on the track and talk about current events that are important.
Should we?
I hope you all are atoning. Yes, we should. Yeah. Yes, we should. Spliffington, not exactly in tonight, but hopefully soon come, and we have music.
Nobody
on deck.
Gets that reference, huh?
Soon come?
Oh.
Oh, this is Superman.
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh, I didn't know the music. Yeah, I didn't know the music. Sorry.
This is when he was carrying some, like, that chick.
I'm carrying.
The carry castle.
I'm carrying the castle.
You with the carry?
Yes, I'm with the carry. And speaking of Carrie, our guests this week are very special. We have the one Justin Stroker, who is a returning guest, and very, very happy we are to see him. Welcome, Justin Stroker.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be
here. No, it's a pleasure to have you.
No, it's a
pleasure.
And
seeing you. Okay, let's argue about it for like an hour and a half. And of course, we have his friend who he has kindly brought with him, Anthony Ferreira, who is here in studio and ready to talk with us tonight on Gunwash. And it is an important night, Anthony, for a number of reasons. Welcome to the studio. You're the only one here. You're the only one here tonight that doesn't know the atmosphere, but you're about to learn about it.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I hope you are.
Barbara Streisand of sorts is very kind.
Yeah,
very kind.
Yeah, and listen, so. I'm from a...
Cunt, it's a personality trait in the day. It's
yeah.
like being born with diabetes.
Yeah. And speaking of diabetes, a lot of healthcare shit on the radar tonight. I am scared shitless, Anthony. I am scared shitless, Justin, Armando.
I'm pretty scared.
Yeah, you're always scared. But if you're not, you should be, because Ebola is happening right now.
It's real.
What is that?
No,
honestly, what is that?
Would you just call it Ebola?
Ebola. You know, okay.
Ebola.
I'll cut the shit.
It sounds like an ethnic girl's name.
I don't really know. All I know is there was a lot of talk in the 90s about it, you know, in Africa and this and that, and now listen, Europe and then America, and apparently there is a confirmed Ebola virus going on in America now, at least one.
Three confirmed cases.
And this is groundbreaking. Am I right?
Yeah, in a way, it is extremely unique now, because it used to be a very isolated situation in underdeveloped nations. So now that it's made an appearance here in America. Everybody's really up in arms about it.
Interesting. Underdeveloped nations were suffering, and now it comes to America. Very interesting. Anthony Ferreira and, of course, Justin Stroker will touch on that in this episode.
Jerk off if you like big women.
And so I shall, and we will be back in about 5 minutes.
I hope.
Yeah, Spliffington's too drunk, so it's here's okay. Ghost Spliffington.
It's okay. We love it. We love it very much. You're on gunwash.com, 718-497-2128. Our call-in numbers, and please do so. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Thank you.
This is Contessa Scudo, and I'm lonely, and I need a man, but at the end of the day, I want the Gunwash Radio, so you're listening to Gunwash Radio.
Hi, this is Armin. Live from Roberta's.
So, whose mic is he going to use?
Can you believe? can you believe that Armin? Can you believe that the one Armin? And listen, when I say worldwide, I go everywhere.
Armin Dillion.
Worldwide, if I say the name Armin,
Airboat.
People immediately know on time.
Airboat.
It's very strange, to me. And it's interesting that Armin has decided to join us this evening because he is wearing a shirt that has the serpentine Hippocratic icon on it. And we are, of course, happy to have him in studio. Welcome to Gunwash. Thank you for tuning in, Armin.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, you are very, very welcome. It's always a pleasure to see you.
You had us, basically. We didn't really have you.
You've taken over.
Armin's trying to take my headphones. You see, he literally started taking over.
I can see his legs are shaking like he wants to speak to someone.
Came in and he was like, let me get a slice of that now.
The meaning of the show tonight, we're talking about healthcare, and it is something that is very, very, very important.
I'm about to sneeze on Armin.
If you have just tuned in, we are indeed on Gunwash, and we are listening. Armin is live in studio, and it's rare that we get to see him, but even rarer, even more rare, when we get to see Mr. Justin Stroker and now our new friend, Anthony Ferreira. Both, excuse me.
His name is Webb. We gotta just call him Webb.
Okay, let's establish that as Webb.
Your name is Webb, and you prefer that I call you Webb. Is that the case?
Yeah. I was born with syndactyly, and it's carried over to this day.
What is syndactyly?
Syndactyly is a.
You got Webb feet like a
derivative
duck.
Of polydactyly, which is if you were to have a extra digit.
Yes.
Which I fortunately do not have. I have the isomer, really, genetically, which is syndactyly, and it's just extra skin between my fingers.
You know, it's interesting because my father used to say, you know, listen, if you have polydactyly, it's something that could be socially interesting. In other words, if I had a sixth finger or if I had a sixth toe, no, of course not.
Well, you do have six fingers, right?
Do I?
It would be 10.
Yeah.
Oh, right. No, you know what I mean. On a hand, I have five. Right. In a sense. So, you have webbed feet, in other words, in a sense.
No, I got lucky in the feet department. Feet are clean.
Let me see your hands.
All right.
You look beautiful to me. I can't tell. Oh, wow. You're beautiful. Oh, my God. I've never seen some shit on Gunwash like this before.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
You should put that on the Gunwash Insti.
This should be the cover. Your hands are beautiful. Can I say something to you? Your hands are beautiful.
Anthony. Oh, I appreciate that.
Webb, excuse me. and your whole life, they called you Webb because your hands.
They did.
And there's that one joint that's a little bit webbed. Don't let Armin exploit you. Unless it's going to be a cover for the show.
Germs.
There's the cover right there.
Yeah. So, and it's funny that Jack said germs because that was that old book that Armin made. Armin, can you not disrupt my show, please? Thank you. No, that's great. Okay. So, Anthony, excuse me, Webb, sorry.
Yeah.
You have so graciously accepted the invitation to come on Gunwash and talk about nursing, and what an important time to come do so, as you have brought your friend Stroker, who, by the way, is not officially a nurse. You have, Stroker, you have passed your...
Yeah, I just graduated from a bachelor's.
Okay,
program.
You have graduated from a bachelor's program, and now congratulations!
Attaboy.
Armando, do you remember Armando when Stroker was not even nursing was not even a twinkle in his eye?
He was
jerking
boobs,
off.
Dude.
Yeah, he was nursing boobs. In other words, Stroker. For those of you who don't remember, he is a longtime friend of the show and former guest.
Off if you like big women.
Yes, Stroker.
That's what he did.
Yes, yeah. Stroker used to be the front man. And listen, I wouldn't
back
step.
Door man.
I wouldn't step to Stroker. He intimidates me. He was a formidable backdoor guy or rather a front desk guy for, if
a
I remember correctly,
spot.
A hand job spot. but technically, well, I think
I
technically
left.
Yeah, he
I actually I work at a sushi restaurant now, so I'm just swinging a different type of fish.
Oh, so you wow, very very nice. So you're no longer working in the front of the interesting.
I'm working nowhere around
spot.
There. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you're working at a sushi spot, and that works out well with your schedule
as far as
learning to be a nurse.
Yeah, yeah. Weekend gig.
And you two, of course, Webb and Stroker have accepted the fact that you are. Well, Webb is a nurse, and Stroker is going to be a nurse. And as we know from our favorite movie, Meet the Parents, socially it can be a little strange to be a nurse if you are a man. Stroker was saying to me earlier before we went on that, if you're a man, why aren't you a doctor? Why aren't you going to medical school? Why aren't you a doctor? And you two, why? And not the Ben Stiller answer, but really why? I mean, you could be a doctor if you can pass a nursing exam. I mean, you can pass a doctor exam.
You sound like a dad.
So it's a multifactorial reason why we decided to do it. The climate of medicine has changed dramatically in the last 10 years, and what has happened is that the more procedures and the more actual doing of medicine has passed from medicine to nursing. We like more hands-on things. We like being actually involved in patient care, and we weren't really interested in the supervisory role that medicine is now playing in the field. So we wanted to actually be in the trenches.
In this shit.
Yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah. We wanted to like actually take part. So
you know, it's interesting that Jack earlier was. We were talking about me and Jack Inslee. We're talking about you know how dreadful it would be to be a boss. You know, and I feel like you know I have a my dad's the head of radiology at Morristown Memorial, and he's a boss, and that took him whatever it took. But I can imagine that being sort of boring and not in the field. And you guys sort of seem to get a rise or an excitement out of being directly there with patients, and that seems incredibly important to you, and I think that that's admirable.
Yeah, that's exactly why we because we were both very, very good at school. We took school seriously from a young age.
In high school?
We could have we were both pretty strong.
So you realize nice. Like you guys are like good grade guys and stuff?
Yeah.
You sound surprised.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that he's
I just wasn't. Shy. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but we could have went that pathway, but we I don't know, just a lot of things have changed for medicine, unfortunately. The compensation that they receive is really disproportionate to the responsibility that they have now. It's now a medical legal war zone, really, that's like litigation happy. And nursing, thankfully, has been shielded from that. So there's a lot of things that point in the direction of people heading into nursing these days.
And so the social barriers of being a male nurse no longer really apply. I mean, you guys are doing what's right, and you're doing something, a good service, and something that feels good and pays well and makes sense in the market in which you're in. Am I right or wrong?
And the scope of practice is really expanding like day by day, and the opportunity for advancement is so great. Being a male in a predominantly female field.
Still predominantly female.
Yeah. We're maybe, I think 11% is the latest statistic.
And that's 11%
low. Male.
And that's below 20%. I mean, that sounds low to
pretty
me.
Pretty low.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I made the decision a little bit later in life. And so I went through a different kind of path than Webb did. But, I mean, I just got a bachelor's in a year. And I'm going to be working, and then it's, you know, to go through medicine at this point in my life would have been a 7-year to 12 to however long endeavor, and it just didn't make sense.
You know, and as someone who
plus
is...
Plus the debt, right?
Like, the debt is paralyzing.
Like, Jack, you, me, and Armando, and Odetta, and Armin, too, we decided to be artists, and that means we live in debt.
But I still have, like, med school debt somehow. I don't know.
You have med school debt? No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But these guys...
100 G's.
No, yeah. But listen.
Stop it.
No.
Not kidding.
I don't even...
Really?
If that's really, really
$100,000.
I'm going to give you some money tonight.
Dude,
because that is
dead serious. I'll show you the receipts.
Yeah.
Sally Mae, baby.
Jack, I owe Sally Mae money too, but you need a doctor if you want someone $100,000.
You need a mental. And tell me if I'm wrong. You need some. You're gonna need like stress relief. If you gotta pay $100,000, it's gonna take you 20 years.
Dude, we should definitely have a whole another fucking topic on how atrocious and disproportionate the compensation versus cost of education is here. It's just frightening.
And
but,
yet,
with the thing with medicine though, that even discourages even further is that you go through the 4 years and you're still making next to nothing in money for your entire residency, which is protracted up to 6 years depending on what you want to do.
And you yourself, you've worked for. It seems as though you have a little bit of more of a formidable relationship with nursing. I mean, Stroker's a little bit new to it, but you've been doing trauma for like over 5 years.
Yeah. I've got some pretty thorough exposure.
So
in the
what is working trauma? I have to ask, because most of the time when I'm talking to healthcare people, it's doctors, and I want to know, what is it when you're working trauma? What exactly is it, Mr. Webb?
Wow.
All right. So unfortunately in 2014, we live in an extremely violent area of the Northeast. It's not as bad as it was in, say, the 90s, but it's still excruciatingly bad. I've had experience in Manhattan all the way to lower Brooklyn, where I'll see on any given day upwards of 5 to 10 stabbings, gunshots, stranglings, poisonings. It's just the thing that people...
I never heard of poisonings before in my life.
The thing that people do to each other is just unfucking believable at times.
So you've seen people come in and say, I got poisoned?
No, they're unconscious that somebody either observed it or participated in it and felt either remorse or, you know, there's been... really bad. The one thing that actually stands out in my mind is that this woman actually poisoned her husband and then ended up feeling horrible about it, brought him to the ER to try to resuscitate the guy, ended up doing so, but she ended up getting arrested like seconds later.
Well, better for her, at least she could save the guy, right? He lived?
Yeah, yeah, he
lived. So fair enough, he lived, and so he gets a little fucked up. But
fairy tale ending.
And you're saying that even we live in a dangerous area. So in fact, you deal with actually real stuff. People getting shot. People getting stabbed.
Really.
And when they poison their pals, what are they using to poison? Is there a pattern or is it all different stuff?
No, this lady wasn't really too creative. She just took all of her Ambien that she had sequestered in her house and like crushed it up in his oatmeal or something. He was like an older guy and just she didn't want to deal with him anymore and just started feeding him it. And benzodiazepines are reversible with a medication called flumizenil, so we were able to revive him.
But benzos are reversible.
Yeah, they are.
I got to get whatever you're reversing them with. I got to get some of that because sometimes I take some of that. You know?
Oh dear. Yeah.
Benzos are important in life. Although I've heard, Webb, that taking benzos can actually shrink your brain and make you not as smart. I don't know if this is propaganda.
No, you get mental delay and you get mental clouding. But in terms of like long term residual effects of it, if you take it as it's prescribed, it's usually the
rather
efficacy.
Safe.
Yeah, it's good.
Good. I'm gonna keep taking it. In other words,
benzos forever.
So
I poisoned a well once.
What is that? What are you saying? I don't understand.
This is a bad joke.
Just Armin, what?
I was just wondering, are there any male midwives?
Yeah, interesting
there
question.
Are male
very
midwives.
Very interesting question. Yeah.
There are
because
male
I actually
midwives.
Had to deal with a midwife
yeah, he,
and the birth of my son was like a home birth.
Congratulations.
It was all
oh yeah, congratulations. Man.
Thank you. It was a long time ago.
Okay.
My son's 12 now.
Yeah. and you're saying Webb that there are male midwives.
Yeah, they are, but with women issues they're extremely sensitive with that and a lot of them don't like males being involved in that area, but just like there's male OBGYNs, there's male midwives, they exist. It's just, you know, they're infrequent.
An ever-growing healthcare field and also tons of different people getting into it. And we will, of course, learn the nooks and crannies and other things of that field of practice.
When I was in the hospital last year for like a week, there was a bunch of male nurses like taking care of me.
Yeah, it's not uncommon.
Yeah, so what I was going to say before is that even in the amount of time of me coming to become educated and entering the field as now Justin is, that 5-6 year difference is incredible of how many different men are now getting into it. The different breakdown that are in clinical exposures that rotate through the hospitals that I work at is crazy. It's like maybe even 30%, I would say, at this time. So, in that short amount of time, there's been exponential growth and interest in men getting into this area.
A rapidly changing field and important it is as the healthcare is changing, and we will certainly learn more about that when we come back.
Can
we
you
are
believe
on...
Patrick Martins just walked in?
I know.
I can't believe you didn't say anything.
No, I didn't want to blow
his
spot.
It's
unbelievable. I didn't want to say anything strange or weird. There goes Armando's watch. That means it's time.
Oh my god, we gotta go. Okay, goodbye.
Unfortunately, no Splivington, but we are here. 718-497-2128. Gunwash.com. We will be back in about 10 minutes or less.
Less. They try to keep us down. It just can't seem to all we need. We've got to change this system, the weaker system. We've got to change this system, the Babylon system, not good for me. Me, oh, I come again, the prophet rides again. Oh, yeah. Here I come again, in a different name, to set the captive free again, the prophets rise again. Behold, I come again. Behold, I come again. Blood of the saints cries out.
Just a little bit longer. Man can please have some faith. Although the road may be rough and the going get tough, we don't need to fall. No, neither to fight. Ooh, yeah.
Now is the time to stop the fuss and fight. Fight, brothers.
There's a fierce blue Gatorade. I would have freestyled that next. Well, you can't reach it. It doesn't make no sense. Good things come to those who work hard for it. You don't need to fake nothing for nobody. You need to come up for nobody. You just keep a motherfucking moving and move on.
So elegantly by our beautiful Contessa, former guest of Gunwash and a close friend of the show with the Cunt Mafia Throwback Thursday on that drop. Thank you, Jack. Welcome to Gunwash. If you're just tuning in, we are here with Justin Stroker and the one Webb. Of course, Armin is in studio.
Is that
and
with
Armando.
Two B's?
I don't know. Is that with two B's?
Yeah, multiple V's.
I guess
multiple B's, depending on
How many ligaments, yes, or how many digits, rather. Talking about the field of nursing, and as we left off, we were talking about why and how so many...
You must have a really, really big heart.
Yeah, you must have a really big heart. You go in every day, as Stroker is about to learn how to do... And you care for people who may or may not be cooperative. And what is your daily experience, and how do you feel about it? I know that's a broad question, but...
Yeah, you'd actually be amazed at how many different people actually resent or don't want to participate in the care that's being rendered to them.
I find that interesting. Why wouldn't they be cooperative?
For a multitude of reasons. Either they're... either mentally not there because of different reasons like dementia or confusion or polypharmacy where you
they don't
really
fucking trust doctors, right?
They're yeah, like, that's also you, another man. That's
fair
another
enough.
Reason is that there's a lot of distrust.
White coat syndrome.
A lot of white coat syndrome.
But
still
I trust doctors.
Oh, that's interesting though, Armando, that
you're
they said
a,
white
much,
coat
you're in a much
syndrome.
Younger demographic though. For like older Americans or even worse, which is even more of an issue right now is the older immigrants, which are always resistant against normal Western medicine. I mean, a lot, not always, but frequently they are.
Yeah, but they show up, though, is the thing.
They're usually dragged most of the time.
Okay.
Skeptical.
By the wives?
Yeah, or family members that, like, don't want to let go of them, or they think that they're not acting right, or unfortunately for me is respite care, which is the family gets tired of taking care of them, so they bring them to the hospital to drop them off.
And what is respite care?
Respite care is what happens when a family is the primary caretaker of an individual, and since it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week experience, they'll either hit their limit where they just can't do a minute more, and then drop them off with a constellation of bogus symptoms that the patient is presenting with, according to them. So they'll get $1 million workup, CAT scans, everything they could possibly imagine, just because the family is frustrated with taking care of them because they're the sole purveyors of care.
It's interesting because, you know, we, and not that I'm, listen, I'm just stating a fact here, but when someone comes into the office and they end up having this respite care and they get a CAT scan and they get an MRI and they get a blood test, blah, 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 blah. That's all goes unpaid for. We pay for it. You pay for it. I pay for it, in a sense. Or am I wrong? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Charity care exists, but it's usually reserved for the destitute and the homeless. Usually, they'll be covered by Medicare.
Medicare. And what exactly is Medicare?
Medicare is an entitlement that was started in 1976 as a safety net for people that, once they are no longer able to work on their own, would still be guaranteed at least some standard of care, regardless of what's going on with them, based off of previous employment and being them previously being a part of the working population. So
I have that.
You have Medicaid.
Well, and then what's the difference? Because I always wondered about that because I don't really know. I get jobs and they just give me cards and I go
all right,
and I get
so
my
here's prescriptions. So here's a simple way of keeping it straight for you, and I do this to my nursing guys, everybody, really. So Medicaid, it has the word aid in it, means that somebody that is destitute or somebody that's impoverished or really just financially, you know, cash poor.
Yeah, that's what
needs,
I have.
Needs aid. So you'll receive Medicaid.
Interesting.
Medicare.
Bless
you. Want to always care for your
you
elders.
You need Medicare, you fucking sneezer.
You want to always care for your elders, so then you receive Medicare when you're old.
That's how they keep it straight.
I see. Okay, so Medicare is for the older, and Medicaid is for younger people who probably could take care of themselves but choose that they need a hospital for that. And the landscape has changed quite a bit. You guys are both involved in helping people at all different levels, and you've decided that even though sometimes the payment can be weird, and I mean, I'd imagine your schedule is unbelievable. I mean, like, do you work like all night for a week and then not work, or like, how does that go?
All right, so what happens with nursing is that the scheduling is actually pretty consistent in way of that you'll know what's expected to you a month at a time.
Interesting.
So you'll know which days you're working. They'll either be 3 days on, 2 days off, or 4 days on, 3 days off. It depends on what's going on, really, with the hospital.
And when it's your day, that's it. You're on, and that's it.
You're there for 12 hours, and you're not thinking of doing anything else for 12 hours.
And how do you even have free time? I would feel like if you had free time, Armando, and you were on that kind of schedule, you would get off and not know even what to do with yourself. That's what I feel.
Yeah, a lot of people fall into that. I try to make productive use of my time, but yeah, it can be difficult because I don't work a normal Monday through Friday job. Like, I'm off on weird times where other people are at work. So.
But when you do 3 days on, what do when you get off besides sleep?
I usually sleep on that fourth day. I'm unconscious for that fourth day usually.
And how do you stay up in all those days? I don't understand. I mean, do you go? Is there? I mean, at this point, you're used to it. We all work. You know, sometimes we stay late. But you're working like what? You come in at noon and you'll on a day that's when you do night. Or is that not exist? You do day and night, and that's it. You come in at 9 a.m., you leave at 6 a.m. 3 days later.
No, there's delegated peoples. Like, if you work nights, then they try to keep you on, so you only work nights. And if you work days, then they try to make sure that you're only working days, just because your circadian rhythm would get so botched that you wouldn't know what's up and what's down, because it's so crazy like that.
My mom, when she used to be a nurse, she used to work from 3 in the afternoon to 11 at night. Like, for years.
Well, that's not a bad gig.
Three to 11. Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Well, now you guys got to share the schedule with other people. Shift. Yeah,
it depends too, because I mean, there's different clinics, and you know, some.
Yeah, I'm speaking exclusively at the hospital. That's hospital for the most part in the Northeast is on a 12-hour day, so that's how it is.
If you're at a private practice, you could be 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Yeah, so true. There's. If you're a school nurse, it's 7 to 3, whatever.
Oh, school nurses? But what about that? Do you ever think about doing that? No?
No.
That's stupid, horrifying. Right? That's horrifying, right?
Horrifying.
You feel like that would be a...
It's like a halfway job.
That's like if you can't work full time.
You won't take your job serious.
You're not allowed to do anything.
Yeah. You're not allowed to do anything, yeah, right? Like, if you're a school nurse, say, and a kid comes in sick, you can't really do anything other than make them lay down, right?
Lay down.
Give them some tissues. It's about it. Yeah.
You can't do anything, right? You can't even give them aspirin.
Unless they have like a chronic illness, diabetes or something like that.
That's where they've already, where another physician has already given them.
There's a plan of care.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't even give them aspirin. You can't give them an Advil. You can't give them an Advil.
No, most of the time you can. There's a lot of things that are in place because you don't know what could be going on. I mean, one of the biggest things is Reye's syndrome, which I love talking about for people that are going through the educational process. A kid will present with just a viral syndrome, and if you give them aspirin, it ends up being detrimental. You get a whole bunch of neurological complications from something like that.
From aspirin,
yeah.
Why? I don't understand.
It actually interacts at the viral level with... A lot happens neurologically, though. I know that the after effects are pretty horrifying.
And you guys have decided in the medical landscape, as it's a profession that's important, and of course we decided in our Western world that we're going to depend on healthcare and public healthcare and things of this nature and Western medicine to make us feel better and hopefully function better. And you've decided in this particular landscape, whether it be the time or the place, that nursing may be better, in fact, than going through medical school and things of this. And maybe the government has to do with that, or maybe it doesn't, or what is the situation that's going on?
I don't like using the word better because it's an individual choice. Like, I have colleagues of mine that decided to get into medicine, and many of them have enjoyed it so far, and then some of them really regret it. So it really, you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. Justin's situation, and I don't want to speak for him, but I encouraged him to pursue nursing over any other area in healthcare because I just have gained so much satisfaction and so much personal satisfaction from it. I just really love it.
So even after the late nights and all this and all that, and it's a hard job and it's impossible and you're tired and you're fucking off the, it's crazy, but you still feel good about it. You feel great. You feel okay about it.
Yeah, I would say there isn't really anything that I could picture myself
doing. I feel good
doing.
For you. Like.
You picture yourself as a nurse. And
yeah,
you
are
absolutely. And I don't mean nurse. I mean, like, but forget about doctor versus nurse. I mean, healthcare, you really feel that's what you want to do.
I picture myself, and I am completely satisfied with what I'm doing at 26 years old in the high acuity area that I'm in, yeah.
I never heard that in my life. I've never heard that in my entire life. Not once.
Well, first time I ever heard it.
That's awesome.
I never heard that in my life. I never. That's crazy to me. Well, no, it's not crazy to me. It's crazy that I never heard it before. Because why shouldn't we be happy with what we're doing? What in society? I don't want to like give up the goods here, but on my outline it says Obamacare. What has happened medically, in and politically, that has perhaps guided you towards this land of healthcare, specifically nursing? Can you comment on it?
You want to take this one, or? All right. So with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare,
they're the same thing. In
they are the same one and the same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
The landscape of how people are paying for healthcare has changed. What that means for providers is that the compensation they would usually receive was usually fee for service, which is like the more procedures that they run or the more testing that they end up taking out per account or per patient, they're reimbursed for that. What Obama wanted to do, which in, you know, the global sense was a real genuine idea, was to take that model and contort it where I want to now have a preventative model where I reward physicians and I reward providers for not necessarily getting that CAT scan or not necessarily ordering that lipid panel.
Gunwash, you're on the air.
Hey, caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Bob, I'm calling from Bethpage.
Hey, Bob, how you doing there
in
Bethpage? What would you like to say to our Gunwash listeners and guests?
Let me turn this down real quick. What would you say?
Yeah, please turn down your radio, please.
Yeah, just turn this down.
What would you like to say, Bob?
Go ahead, man.
No, I'm asking you, Bob.
All right, yeah, I wanted to ask these fellas a little bit about Obamacare. I hear one of them talking about it right now.
Okay, Bob, what question you got?
All right, yeah, so you guys touched briefly upon both the exorbitant costs of university education in America, and some big news this week is Germany's resocialization of college tuition, which I see resocialization because it was free until 2006, but now it's free again this week. My question for the next is, like, Medicare is the largest insurer in the U.S., and administration costs are 3% per patient or per the budget, compared to 17% for private insurers. And presumably, profit motive is the sinkhole that all that money goes into. So why don't we just open up Medicare to everybody else and solve this whole problem?
I was a huge proponent of that. I think a single-payer system is the absolute solution to all of these different things. You can also have motivating factors of having preventative care as being the reins holder and put every provider on a barometer to see how they're actually functioning. And it's also cost-effective because you're able to see exactly where all of these costs are going because you're not stripping it between different resources where you're going to either all go to your doctor's office for preventative care or primary care, or you're going to go to the hospital for emergent or necessary care. I agree with that. I wish that I had more political clout to make that a possibility. If somebody comes to the table and will bring that to the forefront, I absolutely would vote for them. So, yeah, you have a good point.
And luckily for us here on Gunwash, Bob, we have Mr. Webb, and he does have clout at this table.
Great call,
and,
buddy.
Yeah, very, very good call. And we will
guess what happens next.
Yeah, the guns. All right. Hopefully that doesn't Sorry. Happen in the emergency room.
That was a quick one.
And listen, we are going
to... Hey, before we go to break, let's do a real quick one, right?
Yeah,
How much does everybody pay for health care? Go around the table.
Oh, here. I don't even know, dude.
You don't even pay for it, right? You
get I pay for it, but
it comes out of his check.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it comes out of your check. Okay, yeah. Mondo, you got health care?
No, I got, what he said earlier, Medicaid.
Medicaid.
Yeah. Medicaid. Yeah. And I got that because...
You don't need air.
I didn't have money for.
So I'm the only one paying for Obamacare right now.
Yeah, but you're paying
for Obamacare.
Yeah, but dude, he's not. But Armando's not going to have.
I don't get benefits.
That.
It works.
Yeah, so. I'm only having that temporarily because like I'm in a city registered homeless, which was not true. But like,
let me tell you something. We're all going to have to pay that bill in a little bit.
I pay $211 a month.
What about the nurses in the room?
But hold on though. Hold on a second, Jack. With those $211 that you pay, that means you can walk into any hospital and like
I get the catastrophic care, so it's like I get three visits a year, I get an annual checkup for free.
I don't even know what I get.
I get three additional visits a year.
That means you can go to the dentist.
That's
no.
it. Yeah, no,
no
I do.
No.
I have, but then
really,
I can go to the dentist,
wow.
but I go to the shitty dentist, and then they charge you when you go. It's like a copay thing. I got to pay like $40 or something.
Yeah, but the 40 is better than you know how much a dentist costs. That shit is like $500 and stuff.
Anyway.
Well, listen, interesting landscape. Awesome. One that I am, mystified by. Who wants to go to the fucking doctor? It's terrible.
I like going to the doctors. When I was in a hospital last year, they were really, really nice to me.
Yeah, I know. I visited you. You looked very, very happy with blood coming out of your head. No, but you did look happy, and I know, I was in that exact room on that floor when I had that stomach.
You told
issue.
Me that.
Yeah,
that was pretty crazy.
Very interesting. Beth Israel is an interesting organization. Their emergency rooms are color-coded.
I was in the trauma.
Good,
I was in
right?
I was even in the ER. I was in a trauma place.
Yeah, well, you fell off a building, so you gotta...
blunt trauma.
So we've got a lot more trauma to learn about and things about the landscape that we want to ask, and we will be back shortly. My name is Aaron, and Armando is here with Webb and Stroker. We're talking about the medical landscape from the nursing standpoint. Gunwash.com. Call-ins are 718-497-2128. Armin is in studio. We'll be back in a few moments.
Dressed up like $1 million jewel charm.
Such a bomb.
Trying hard to be like Eddie Murphy. Super duper. Come let's mix. Rockefellers walk with sticks and an umbrella in the midst. Yeah. Put it on the wrist. Have you seen the well-to-do?
One, two.
Up and down Park Avenue.
It's 4 p.m. Welcome back, Spliffington. It is time for Field Trip High Power here on RadioLily.com. Guns up.
Why? 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 Why?
amplifier. Chop, your ugly selector.
Away, my
no, no, away, my dude.
Away, my dude.
Look how you bankrupt me from water, Frederick. Lick a goat and chicken, pack up in the kitchen. Every part of the still have a red heart. From what I screw in the city, my life.
For mercy. Oh no no, so I say no 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 no. This is what I say. Oh, we no have no mercy. No, we no have no mercy. But nothing pan sound. Who tried to test my sound? No, I say we no have no mercy. No, we no have no mercy. But no jump and sound. Who try to play like a clown? So I say, if you want to test or you want to this, if you give my sound, you will kill it tonight. So I say,
this is Odetta Bess Hartman, and you're tuning into Gunwash Live.
If a song boy you miss, or a song boy you diss, or you see I'm just kidding, I'm really loving. I'm telling you, we don't have no mercy. We don't have no mercy. No, we don't. No mercy, but no jump and sound. Who try to test my sound? And if you play in the east, then you must get defeat. If you play in the north, we will tear you apart. So I say, we no have no mercy. And if you play in the west, we'll show you that we're the best. If you play in the south, we'll kick you all about. Show your sound, boy, we no have no mercy. And they say word is wind and blow is unkind. But if you run off your mouth, you might lose your life. Just to show you, we no have no mercy. We no have no mercy. No, we no have no mercy. Find a young family sound who disrespect my sound. No, we no have no mercy. No, we no have no mercy.
Yeah, man, original Struggle Martin, come again, trust me.
My sound born, yeah. The rock and muffin sound born, yeah. My sound born, yeah. The rock and muffin sound born, yeah. Champion in a any contest will get through down. Juke them with top end, juke them with the mid range, then you juke them with the heavy bass line, juke them with the heavy bass line, juke them with LP, juke them with double.
You know, I want to bring us back just a minute early.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You took a pizza making class, did you not, Aaron?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to
talk
about that.
Oh, how'd that
so
go?
So, can we just like...
It, yeah, good boss. Well, I'm back for my pizza making class. I did it specially for Heritage Radio. Very, very invigorating. Yeah. Wait, wait, no, seriously.
You went on a date?
No, I did go, one of the hosts, one of our fellow hosts on the network has an all-pizza show. She's
sick.
Her name's Talia, she's a grad student, she's from Canada, she's very, very lovely, lovely young lady.
Was she hot?
Yeah, I'd say she's kind of a cutie.
Can I get deets?
I mean, I mean...
On the pizza?
Oh, okay, so listen.
Did you fail?
No.
Was it crispy?
No, check this out. I I wish the Brandon was here, the owner of Roberta's, because I made a pizza, Armando. In fact, I made three pizzas, Armando, that were so good that I could not believe that I made them.
Really?
Jack,
was it cheesy?
Dude.
Listen. So is this like, are you
Jack,
gonna make pizzas now?
This guy.
Forget tattoos, we're making pizza.
This guy. I know Talia said that, and by the way, we should get clips. I don't know, you know, it's funny because, you know,
on its way, yeah, we'll get there.
We had a fun
Did
time.
Did you use the Zoom?
No, she used the Zoom. She left the thing on the whole time. I was like, you gotta be
that's
crazy.
Kinda lame.
Yeah, I was like, you gotta be crazy. You're gonna edit this later. But anyway, that's how she does it, so I'm not gonna question her thing, so that's fine. This guy, Jack. And I know you must be prejudice is the wrong word, but you work at Roberta's Pizza. It's a very famous pizza place. He appreciates Roberta's Pizza, this guy. But this guy, Mark, knows so much about pizza in a way that was overtaking.
What does he do? Mark?
Mark. This guy, Mark, who runs the pizza class. It's called Pizza School. It's on Grand Street and I think of Essex, yeah, Grand and Essex, and this guy told me everything about making a pizza. He told me about the tomato puree. He told me about the cheese, difference between cheeses, difference between doughs, using yeast. He taught me all about sauce and why tomato puree has a single leaf of basil in it when it comes over.
Basil.
I gotta tell you, I really
I always
think
wanted to know about that.
It has to do with taxes and food stuffs and shipping food stuffs around. And that's
my dad is an Italian American, and when he makes the sauce, there's only just one leaf in there.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know why, if on an Italian level, if there's a reason for the one leaf of basil, but I can tell you that for tomato puree that comes from Italy or other places abroad, the reason they put a leaf of basil in there is for taxation and shipping.
Wow.
It's because if you put a leaf of basil in there, it becomes a mixed food item, or rather a prepared food item, and changes the prices on shipping and taxation in that sense.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting class. If you get the chance to go to
the pizza
school. I just
can't believe you did this.
I can't believe I did it either on such a week when I was so tired and overworked and also coming down from the flu. And I made four pizzas.
Unbelievable.
And I ate them all throughout the week, and they were great. I didn't get sick from one of them. They were great. I made food for myself. It was great.
You ate pizza every day?
I ate pizza for 3 days straight,
oh,
and it
my
was
God.
It was great. And I have to say, I
Long-time
really...
Long-time listeners must be shocked by this. Because I mean,
really... And to think, at Roberta's, when have I ever gotten a pizza at Roberta's? Yeah. Like, three times.
All right, this story's boring now.
Yes, it is boring,
Boy,
but...
Mondo! Getting around, Mondo!
Wow, I can't believe you ate that much pizza. I seriously cannot believe you
it's
ate
all
that much
I was.
Pizza.
It was convenient for me to do at the time. It tasted good, and microwaving is fun. I could teach you a lot about convection ovens, but I will spare the audience at this time.
Well, yeah, because right now we're going to talk about something a little bit different. We're going to talk about alternative medicine. Because earlier on the show,
ooh,
yes indeed, because earlier our friend Webb with two B's mentioned that, and as you know, sometimes at a school, by the way, I'm sick. If you guys could hear that, the audience could probably hear that. I'll feel terrible. Like, I came out to work today, but like, I didn't take any Advils or any, what is it, Motrins or ibuprofen?
Acetaminophen.
Yeah, whatever those things are, you know.
No symptom relief.
And, like, I'm not into that, so I'm into, like, you know, alternative methods to, like, cure whatever is wrong with me. It can go from, like,
well, like herbs and stuff?
Like, let's say from falling, right? I will probably, like, rub vapor rub. Not vapor rub, but probably, like, a leaf or something.
Yeah, he's like Alex Seal. He
you
breaks
take a leaf off a tree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He breaks his back and he puts Tiger Balm
like,
on
hey,
it.
Some grass. This will
yeah,
work.
You know, like, earlier during the music break, I mentioned that, like, if I have a beard right now, so I would, like, chew an orange or a grapefruit and, like, not wash my face right after and just like leave all that citrus on my
that's really
did you
alternative
did you get that from like childhood is that something that
well I didn't have a beard when
or
I was a child
well I mean but
no nice. I just I figured
you popped out the womb with that thing.
No. I just figured because your face would get sticky, and then that's all like citrus, and that's probably like good for your skin.
That's natural. You know? Yeah.
So that's like, especially with like fruit. I remember like people were just like adding cucumbers to like whatever, to like even water is kind of like an alternative way.
You bring up a good point, dude. There's a, you know, I wonder about that sometimes. They sell all those supplements, the herbs and stuff, and it's like, you know, does it work?
Yeah, I mean, not all of it is really passed through the FDA, so we don't know if they really work. And
do you think the FDA doesn't want to approve it because it will like fuck up the whole medicine?
Big pharmacy?
Yeah,
The FDA doesn't want to approve it. A, because of big pharma, and B, because drugs make claims, and claims go to indications, and indications mean real life health in America.
Or probably people are a bit lazy, not lazy, but they're just not into.
They want instant relief. They don't understand the.
They just want to pop a pill.
Right, exactly.
They want to go with a brand name that they saw on TV. That goes into a lot of consumers not really being educated enough to take care of their own health. As far as alternative medicine goes, there's actually a lot of things in a lot of aspects of nursing that kind of try to focus in on that. There's guided imagery, distraction techniques, and everything to kind of help relieve pain before really going to that, because medicating is not something you want to readily jump to. If you could do something to maybe change their position or
placebo pills.
Do you think it's a mental thing that if you like think it's going to help you, it'll actually work?
There's definitely there's no actual like proven facts, but
like, for example, like, let's say, God forbid, I'm running and, like, I see some barbed wire and it, like, just, like, slashes, like, my chest.
Right? Yeah. Well, believing that you're not bleeding is not going to stop you from bleeding.
Yeah, you got to bleed out, man. You're going to have to get some kind of thing. You're going to have to get some kind of violator. Yeah, put on something.
Put the leeches on your chest.
Yeah, especially leeches.
But, like, what if we just left, like, the liquor store, right, and I just grabbed the Bacardi 151 or whatever, and I just like splash it on my chest. Will that work?
That's not what a nurse would suggest.
No, obviously, but like that's.
Yo, actually, if we were in the woods and something were to happen to you and I really had no other antiseptic access, I absolutely would use booze on your wound.
Is that true? Is that true, Webb? Explain to me, like, in your training, you've decided that it would, if you needed to, you would use an alcoholic item.
So, booze, otherwise known as ethanol, is in alcohol, and since alcohol has antiseptic properties because it essentially destroys the cell wall of bacteria because its pH is very low, that's the go-to antiseptic. It was back in Civil War time. If they ran out of, you know, normal soap modalities, you would go to alcohol. Yeah, it would be a last-ditch resort, and it's not preferable. But it definitely does have antiseptic properties.
Yeah, just because it might be like coconut flavored or something, right?
You know, but Webb, I
that'll
see.
That'll do it.
You know, but Webb and also Stroker, you know, I see things about what Armando was saying about, or rather, excuse me, Armando suggested and then Stroker talked about, you know, there is a little bit of magic left in nursing. By that I mean distraction techniques, making people
I like that you use the word magic.
I mean, I think all... Listen, I have to tell you something. I think all this stuff has a little bit of magic involved. Not just medical. Anything that involves touching the human body.
Because, every time a nurse touches my hand, I feel a lot better.
Yeah. So why did you like that I said magic?
Just because you're right. Like, these are undocumented claims. It's impossibly difficult to try to document efficacy of guided imagery or music therapy, distraction therapy, all of these different things.
You're saying it's impossible to measure it.
Yeah, it's impossible to quantify it, but people get a tremendous amount of relief from it, even more so than some opioid analgesics for bone pain, which is just impossible to treat. And, you know, there's been a lot of success with people reporting relief in which is normally a tremendously difficult type of pain to cure or to abate with these non-traditional modalities.
Can I ask you a question? Actually, I want to tell you a short story, all of you, specifically the nurses in the room and the nurses to be, and then I'd like to ask a question. When I was a little kid, 8, 9, something like this nature, I fell down on the bike, and split the side of my lip right here. I can't remember which side. I think it's this one. Split it in half. Got to get sutures. Nothing super crazy, right? White meat opened up. This part's no longer connected to this part. Got to sew it up, right? I get to the hospital. I'm absolutely flipped out about... not only, forget about people touching me, people putting things on me, tweezers, metal, reflective things, bibs. It's all freaking me out. Everything's freaking me out. My dad's a doctor, so we go in there, and he's putting me on the thing. I'm crying in a way that's embarrassing to talk about now, but I will because I'm around
medical staff.
It's okay, but yes, it's okay to cry, but I'm around medical staff, so especially now I feel okay talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm flipping out. I'm like flipping out. Like they have to sew my lip up, and I'm flipping out. Like
obviously
in a real way.
You're 9 years old.
No, I'm flailing. I'm flailing around. Hard to deal with. You know. Luckily, I'm not a strong man who can. If I was flailing, would hurt someone. I'm a kid. The lady says, "Oh, I got something to show you. Put your arm right here." And I'm like, "Okay." And I put my arm right there, and she says, "Okay, now put your arm right here. Put your other arm right here." Before I know it, I'm handcuffed in a pillowcase. I didn't realize what she was doing to me. In other words, she was a very good nurse, and I was arm cuffed in a pillowcase.
You were restrained.
I was restrained in a pillowcase. Yeah, and then screaming, and I you know gave in, and they sutured my lip up, which. You know, isn't the biggest fucking deal in the world. I mean, I know people that have sewn their own lips up that aren't nurses or doctors.
Strangeland. You ever see that cover? Dee Snider?
I haven't, but Dee Snider
still haunts my dreams.
Certainly a hero. I'm sure that if you, Webb or Stroker, were in a case where you needed to sew yourself up, I bet you could do it. I suspect you could. Could you or could you not?
I had a sew like a hole in my pants before. That's
I know.
That's
I mean your skin. Nice. I mean your skin. Huh?
Is that the question you have?
No, that's not the question I have. But I'm wondering. Like it is. Why is that? What, you didn't like that?
I
question?
I think that's a good question.
Well, no. I mean, really. I mean, like,
and it's perfect for your ending of the story.
If you were in a place and it was really late and you sliced yourself and there was white meat and you had to and there was a first aid kit available. Come on. You could sew yourself up.
Yeah, I believe so.
I believe so, too.
Yeah, me too.
To the hospital.
No, there's no hospital.
But there's in this
situation.
We're
on an island in
we're a strange land.
In Canada.
It's not usually in our scope of practice, so we're not taught it in school.
So you don't sew?
We don't sew.
So, but the doctors will sew.
I can take care of
doctors,
myself.
Doctors, PAs, NPs, they sew.
Okay, interesting. Hmm. Come on. If you did it, if you would have to do it, I see that you could do it.
I mean,
it.
Let's put it this way. He'd be better at it than we would be.
Yeah, I mean, in a real way. I mean, right? I mean, really, like, in a real, real way, yes, you'd be better at it than me.
Just because of exposure, yes.
Just
You know how you try to seal, like, when you have no bags, you want to put a little bit of weed in, like, the cigarette, like, plastic, and you just seal it with a lighter?
No.
Like, that's what I would do to my skin.
Yeah, that's what he would.
That would be my best guess. Cautery is a real thing.
He would fold his skin over and melt it closed with the side
exactly.
of a lighter. Yeah, like a fucking...
You would skip the sutures, go right for the cautery.
Go right, yeah exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, that being said, Webb...
Yes, sir.
I only ask you this because you have a little bit more experience than Stroker. What is your most memorable triage experience so far? Tell me in great detail.
It actually happened not too long ago while this whole police violence shooting each other activity was going on.
Ah, I guess so it
was
recent like
probably,
events have
probably
affected
3 weeks
it.
Ago, right? Let's say, about? So
you tell me.
25-year-old young man, African-American man, comes in.
It's about your age.
Yeah, dude. It was horrifying, man. He was riddled with gunshots.
Really? In New York?
Right in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Two in the chest.
Can we say what
gun.
Hospital you work at? Or
no, I cannot.
Okay, that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
For safety reasons.
Definitely Woodhull.
Yeah, absolutely not. My dad was born in the hospital you work in. That's cool.
It definitely was not Woodhull.
Yo, I got a
Wait, no, continue, though.
Wait, continue.
Yeah, yeah, so anyway, just the music I found very distracting.
No, but sorry. If you're distracted by the music...
No, I didn't know if I was supposed to conclude the story or not.
No,
that's
you're supposed to... It's like a, how do you say, a novella.
Yeah, I thought I was, like, getting the light for radio, you know? So, yeah, anyway, he comes in, unfortunately riddled with gunshots, very, very young...
Unfortunately.
Young guy, man. It was heartbreaking, it really was.
Like your age, Aaron.
Yeah, yeah.
He was crying, I bet.
Oh, yeah, dude. He was bawling like a child, man. He knew that he was about to die, unfortunately. And just the bullets, where they happened to be placed, unfortunately, they didn't take him right away. He survived close to... I had him for a total time of 4.5 hours, where under my direct care, I was able to keep him alive and resuscitate him, essentially, so he was able to make it upstairs to surgery. It was prolifically memorable for me because this isn't the first time that I've been exposed to gunshots like that. But what was even more moving about it was, number one, he was my age. And then number two was that I worked so excruciatingly hard to make sure that everything was accounted for, that he was in the best care possible. And he still didn't make it because when he left my care and he was in transit in the elevator to get to the surgical suite, he ended up passing in the elevator. So, wow.
But that's the thing, when you're riddled with bullets, what can Jesus you do, though? Christ. I mean, what, I mean, really, I mean, you saw that he was hit in vital areas, in other words, multiple times. The violence based on, we don't know.
That's heavy, though, but you must have felt good that you got him to surgery.
Dude, when I was saying goodbye to him, like, because I wheeled him to the doors of the ER, I, like, held his hand, and I was like, you're all right. Like, we made it this far. Like, just hold on a little bit longer. And
but he can't.
Dude, he tried, man.
Is that traumatic for you to see?
Yeah, what do you...
This is the reason why, like, when you bring it up, I don't even have to think for more than 4 or 5 seconds as to what was the most memorable
experience. You held the guy's
because
hand.
It's clearly. Like... I mean, it, like, was unbelievably difficult.
I can imagine.
Does that visual haunt you?
I mean, this is why I think people that are in this are really chosen or, you know... They get into it for a particular reason, really. Like, not to say that I was selected for it, but it's just like you have a bigger picture about things.
Yeah,
I guess.
Can deal with it.
I can like shoulder it, and I can take this burden so other people don't have to. And it's, you know.
Let me. I want to ask you about this because I just read an article. Apparently, there were some doctors in London who fucked up. A childbirth, a delivery, and now the kid's got cerebral palsy, going to need, you know, special attention, all this stuff. And they admitted it, and they said, we fucked up. We are the reason that your daughter is cerebral palsy.
Right.
Which
they should do.
Which is crazy. I just imagine, like, that's got to weigh on the doctor. And, I mean, you're human. I make mistakes at work all the fucking time.
Dude, this is one of the most exciting topics, and I'm glad it actually came up because it's changing in 2014, where the culture of care is to not point blame but to really figure out where the systems failed, because any mistakes that are made in a hospital in 2014 are not individual errors. They're systems failures. So
you're following your instruction sheet. And
we're
like,
so far ahead systematically that
there are protocols in place that say, like, the second that a gunshot arrives, this has to happen. It's a stepwise thing. It's a formula, A through F. Like, you can't mess it up because you check it off as each thing goes down. And when things like that happen and an actual provider takes the onus and says, you know what, I made a mistake here at this particular moment, it's critical for the development of other providers, because now I know what that person did and now that I won't do it because he made that mistake for me.
Wow.
What's going on right now, which is extremely exciting, it's called FOAMED, it's hashtag FOAMED, and it's free open access medical education. Anything that I learn or anything that I come across that is clinically significant or clinically high value, I'll put a tag on that because I want as many providers that I come across to possibly see it, because it's just dissemination of information, where journals are not really looking for money or payouts anymore. They're just looking for coverage. They just want this information to be as widely available as possible. So I'm glad that you brought that up. Having a no-fault culture in medicine is absolutely critical for our advancement and development, and I'm really, really excited that I can say that that's exactly where we're going.
Me too.
Because you have to understand, of course, that you know one of those faults, when you enter this profession, you got to know that one of those faults could fall on you.
I mean, there's very few professions that our decision-making is really life and death.
And you're in that.
So. Listen to this tweet right here. Learning more about bedside ultrasound prior to commencing night duty, thanks to Mike and Matt from the USS podcast, #foam.
Yeah, exactly.
See,
so
that's real as fuck.
These things, you're an educator right now, man. It's for real in a real way, man.
Taught me so much.
Yeah,
tonight.
You're an educator in
and
a
even
real
it,
way.
Here's another one. Hold on. Saturday is going to be a very intoxicated day. #foam. I don't know about that.
No, that's you got to. Might be foam
there.
Party.
Yeah. Yikes! Oh, foam! Yeah. Oh, it is a foam party. There's a.
Great. You gotta make sure that the FOAM is capitalized. We tried to separate
it. That was good for the vibes, though.
Yeah. Foam ED.
Yeah. On a lighter note, I remember Stroker.
Your first foam party?
No. Stroker. Oh, I had this question for Stroker because he used to come from like a place where there was like mad kind of like dudes and chicks, you know, sex white. Parts like, you know,
sexing
their mind. Do like people that are patients ever try to like flirt with you? Because like,
because
you know,
you're hot, man.
Yeah. I mean,
of course. Look at this guy. He's listen. Go ahead. Sorry.
I get the Superman thing a lot. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I kind of bought into it, getting the glasses, and it helps bedside. It helps, you know, people feel like they see a familiar face and
they see Superman
as an attractive person. People are more prone to trust attractive people.
That's interesting.
Wow, someone's definitely going to think you're Superman one day. That's going to happen.
And you're going to rip that shirt off and you're going to be Superman.
What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever gone to the doctor for, Aaron?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, chlamydia.
Oh, I got the best story for this one.
Chlamydia, obviously.
I guess.
I'm not embarrassed. I'll be like, listen, my ass is on fire. I need your
ass
help.
Is
like,
on fire.
Yeah. Like, I don't care, man. Like, I just need help.
Nah,
like,
check this
no
out.
Matter what, I just need help.
When I was when I was like 4 or 5, I still didn't speak yet. So I was like crying though. My mom took me to the doctor. She's like, I don't know what's wrong with my son. He's like freaking out. My leg was like falling asleep. I was always like being weird. I was like folding my leg all the time, and my mom took me to the doctor because my leg was falling asleep, and I couldn't even explain it to my mom.
What about you, Jack? What about you?
Oh Jesus, mine's pretty. I was like, this is embarrassing. I'll tell
chlamydia.
It, I guess. No. I had a fake chlamydia thing. I went once, and they were like, yeah, you definitely got chlamydia or something.
You guys are like
no, they said you have gonorrhea. You know, here's like, the antibiotics or whatever. And then I got a call like a month later, and they were like, we got your lab test back, and you did not have gonorrhea. So sorry about that.
Nice.
But anyway, I was really young, and I guess I had an ingrown pubic hair, and I thought I had like the worst STD that was gonna like my dick was gonna fall
but
off.
You were a kid.
So I drove my I was able to drive. I was like 16 or something, and I drove a car to the ER, and it was embarrassing. Obviously.
Oh, they were like,
"What about this? You know what was
like,
embarrassing
they were like,
to
you
me?"
Got a pimple, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I got punched in the face, and I had to get like 8 stitches. And when I had to get 8 stitches, there was a dude that was gonna give me the stitches. I was like, nah, I want that chick to do it. And then they had to like get someone else, and they did it. But it was like a big weird thing, and I had like all this
you
blood
have
in my
that
face.
Right.
You know,
you absolutely have that right.
Absolutely, yes.
You do?
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
You can refuse care
for any
provider.
Wow. Yeah, because Jack, you never had like a job where you had to fill out mad forms. Yeah, you can like choose like I can choose if I want like a black male. If I want, it's me. I could get that. Like, I could say I want a black male, and that is
I'll
it.
I'll request Webb
you know?
Next time.
Yeah, I will request
please
Webb.
Please do, dude.
Webb,
y'all went to the hospital once. I had a fishbone stuck in my throat.
Oh, fishbone's actually a scary situation, man.
Yo,
you get
airway
occlusion. It happens more frequently than you would think, man, actually.
On Thanksgiving
I
a
would
lot.
Say that, like, in...
Turkey bones.
I would say it's probably happened to me 8 times where a patient comes in and either it's
because they come in
and you really don't
Why?
Know like I mean fishbones first of all are pliable so like they are extremely malleable when you try to swallow them like they'll actually contort to your windpipe and they'll sit right in it like
oh
right in your like it, It essentially takes the shape of your cricoid and will just sit under there. And if you're not able to expectorate it on your own, you have to have it removed. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So you know what happened to me? I had to wait 5 hours in an emergency
room. Well, you're like,
I had to wait 5 hours in an emergency room. No, no, no. It was weird because I like wouldn't feel it and then I would feel it.
Oh,
and then I thought it'd be gone and then it comes back. And I had to wait, and I waited for so, so long. And then this really hot Indian lady comes with a briefcase, and she opens it and takes out a camera that she put in my nose. And then with this camera, it, like, went down my throat.
Yeah, bronchoscope.
Yeah.
Yes, a bronchoscope.
By the way, I've heard via the
from the word
I've heard via the pharma waves that camera pills are soon on the horizon, hopefully putting an end to
camera pills.
Hopefully putting an end to colonoscopies and things of this nature, making things more safe.
Guys, I think that's a show.
Well,
right
no,
there.
I have to ask one more question because I didn't get a chance to ask it, and I know Stroker and Webb, there isn't much time to answer, but it's important, and maybe we will touch on it extra next week and maybe get some help from you. Ebola is in America. Give us a small lowdown and a warning to our listeners.
Wash your hands. That's it.
Please, 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 please wash your hands. Number one portal of infection is the fecal-oral route, and it doesn't matter what you decide to pass, be it Ebola or cholera or whatever else you want to bring up that's in non-industrialized areas that makes its way over to industrialized areas.
It's from wiping your ass.
Yeah, so be better. Wash your hands, people.
Wash your hands. Ken, yeah.
I was just going to say, avoid any friends, family members, partners that have traveled to West Africa.
Yeah.
Give them like a week and a half before you decide to see them, see how they're feeling, and then you could
keep it local.
Also, don't go to the handjob spots.
Okay,
don't,
great. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Avoid
and
bodily
we know,
fluids.
Yes, and we know that Justin Stroker is no longer over near those spots, and he is safely under the wing of our pal Webb. I want to do drops before we leave, but an emotional set it has been. Stroker and Webb, can we please get drops? And I know Armin hasn't been here in ages. We should get one too.
Oh my God, let's get 10 drops from
Armin. Webb, you know what a drop is?
Educate me.
Okay, basically you just say, hey, my name is blah, 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 and I'm listening to Gunwash. And you can do it in any way you want. That's an open-ended sort of question. You just sort of, we give you, no one else talks. It's time for you to give your five seconds.
Hey, this is Jackknife, and you're listening to a podcast by Aaron Ginsberg.
Yeah, like that. Like that.
Got it.
And you're on now.
Hey, this is Anthony Webb Farrar, and you're listening to Gunwash.
Classic.
Very nice, very nice. And now Stroker, of course.
Hey, it's Stroker, at it again here on Gunwash.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that one,
yeah, too. I like that one, too. And Armin, I know it's been ages since you've been here. You only come here like once a year. What can we hear from you tonight, Armin?
Special guest. Hi, this is Armin. What am I listening to right now?
Sounds the same.
Sounds like the same one from like last year.
Well, listen, it has
Hi, my
been
name is Joe.
This is Gunwash!
Hi, I'm Joe Murray.
Yeah, unbelievable show. Webb
Germs.
Stroker. Germs not available tonight. You guys are obviously.
We miss you.
We do miss you very much. You guys are welcome to come back anytime you want. I had some other more moving questions to ask you, but
out to West Babylon.
I won't fuck up the vibe.
Out to all of West Babylon
more this evening. Out to the South Shore and all of Long Island, and shouts to New Jersey.
Is there any way that I could just do one more thing? Because I feel like this is a.
Oh yeah,
it's all you, man. What do you want
to
say?
This is incredibly important to me. If you guys can, if there's any legislature that comes to pass where you are called on to vote, I need you guys to please vote yes or be in full support of open access to Narcan. The heroin epidemic right now that's happening all throughout the tri-state area, especially in New York and Manhattan and Brooklyn, is unbelievably intense right now, especially since I'm on the front lines of it. If somebody could just get access to that invaluable medication, you'll save a life. So please support it if you possibly can.
What's it for?
Narcan is what reverses heroin or opiate.
It's like Suboxone and the other ones, right?
So what they're doing now is making sure that police officers and firemen have nasal-administered Narcan. So if they come across somebody that is agonal breathing or they just don't look right and they're able to administer it on the spot and save a whole bunch of repercussions of being anoxic and not getting air to the brain and all this.
In case, because a police officer might say, oh, this is a fiend, let's put him through the process, when in fact they might just be under a drug-related thing that, listen, we all get addicted to something in life.
Yeah.
You know, and I fully support Webb, and I think
real journalism here tonight.
Yeah, absolute real journalism. I thank you guys very, very much for
thank
coming.
You,
and we will be back
Stroker
next week.
And Webb.
And make sure you go to gunwash.com. Late call-ins are 718-497-2128. Thank you very much
Goodbye.
To all my people involved. We will see you next week. Shouts to Rec Tech and Fun City Tattoo.
Hurry home.